Hello and welcome to Strangecast episode 32.
Childhood terrors.
Things that scared you as a child, or if you're still a child, things that you don't like. Because I know that we have certainly a few of those. Even to this day, sometimes I still get a bit of a jump scare from certain sounds. So, yeah. But before we get into that, how's your week been?
It's gone really fast, hasn't it? I think because of the bank holiday.
Yes.
We're already, you know, nearly at the end of the week. It's always a bit of a shorter one with a bank holiday, but it's been all right.
And the children fled the nest.
They went back to school. Skipped all the way there happily, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Jake said on the Tuesday when he got back from school, worst morning of my life. And I was like, why? What happened? Having to get up.
Well, yeah, you know what? I can see that.
Yeah. So 2 weeks of not having to really get up before sort of 9 or 10. And yeah, it was a hard one for him, I think. But they've been okay.
This week is also harder for him as well.
He has his mock exams, yeah, mock GCSEs this week and next. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like 2 exams every day.
That's grueling.
It is. And some of them are long. Yesterday's one of them was an hour and 45 minutes, which is a long time to have to sit in one spot and mentally concentrate.
He said he's missed break, didn't he?
Yeah, rolled into his break. And yesterday they had to stay half an hour later because they'd started later.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, he didn't actually leave school until 4:15.
It's no fun at all.
Yeah. It's hard for them.
Alice seems to be in good form.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of Alice, if you're watching this or listening to this on YouTube, you'll see some new artwork. Alice drew us a few new Strangecast pictures, which we can use, which is very exciting. So keep your eye out for those if you have working eyes, unlike me. Yeah, my week, well, it's been quiet. I haven't done anything yet. Not really, anyway.
Apart from eat a ton of lamb.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
My goodness. I ate a lot of lamb, drank a lot of wine, drank a lot of rum.
Yeah.
Drank a lot more wine, lot more rum, ate cake.
And then wobbled home.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
I don't really drink, to be fair, so it was a treat. I'm not, you know, like a raging alcoholic or anything.
God, no.
No, but yeah, I paid for it a little bit in the night. I was very dizzy.
Yeah.
But I'm usually fine next day and I was pretty much back to normal, so that's good. Oh, boy. All right, then. Before I expose myself any further, tell us about the quiz.
Okay, question. So last week's question, what year was the first Barbie doll released? I believe somebody commented thinking it was 1951. They were very close. It was 1959.
59?
Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty close. And for this week we have, how many time zones are there in the world?
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I should know closer to that. I mean, I see it all the time and you have to set what country you live in. But I can't remember, to be fair.
Okay. You can have a think.
I shall. I'll have to go through the list.
Yeah.
Because there's quite a lot of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them fall at weird things like half an hour and 45 minutes. And
that's really strange.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
Time zones are actually very interesting. You speak to certain people in some of the East Asia and Asian regions, I think, and they might be anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes ahead.
Yeah, I think I just always assumed that it was rounded up.
Nope.
That's really weird.
All right. I
really didn't know that.
Do some research. You'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sending you off on a little hunt. You're going to find out some really interesting things you didn't know.
All right.
I can't tell you the names of any of the places because I can't remember. But when you scroll through Windows Time, for example, on your laptop, when you're setting your laptop, there are places that are GMT plus, I don't know, like 9:45 or 9:30 or whatever it is. I'm making it up, but that is, you know, it's true and it's weird. So, childhood terrors. A title you came up with, which I liked.
Yeah.
So why don't you start with your terrorizing childhood, as it were.
Well, I was thinking about there's sort of two different aspects, isn't there? There's sort of things that you were scared of in real life, so sounds or like a physical thing,
yeah,
and then or something you've seen, you know, on TV, and then obviously dreams, nightmares, night terrors, those kind of things. So I was a child that had a lot of nightmares,
mm-hmm.
some night terrors, which you kind of wake up screaming from. That was, yeah, not very nice. The one that I remember earliest, when I think I was about 4, and I was in the castle from Sleeping Beauty at the bottom of the dock, like stone staircase, with my cousin playing Monopoly, of all things. And the witch from that film was chasing us, and I woke up absolutely screaming. And I just, I remember, to calm me down, my dad was pretending to fight the witch away with wooden spoons.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
How cool.
But yeah, that was the only way that I was sort of able to calm down. When I was a little bit older, I had a nightmare about Big Bird from Sesame Street, which, if you don't know, is like a 7-foot plus ginormous yellow feathery bird with a long beak. Not particularly scary. I mean, maybe it's very big. But in the dream or nightmare, he had big spiky teeth, big sharp spiky teeth, and he was chasing me around Brent Cross Shopping Centre.
Okay.
So now I can't see Big Bird without thinking and having that fear that I did in that dream.
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't so great.
No, I should say not.
I did then, when I was, but this is like more in my teens, when I was older, have this reoccurring dream. And I think it was one that I had when I was quite stressed or particularly anxious. But it was about being, I don't know what, I was running from something, and I get to a phone box, you know, the old fashioned red phone boxes that we have here. And I'm desperately trying to type in my old house phone number, you know, from where I lived with my parents.
When people used to remember
their
phone numbers.
When we used to remember numbers, because when you're a kid, you have to drill it into your head.
You do. I've told us to try and remember at least one of ours. They haven't.
You just don't, because you never type them. So you can try and remember, but then because you're not physically ever typing it in, it doesn't, you don't retain that information.
It's a skill we've lost.
Every time I tried to type this number, I kept messing it up. And I, in the dream, I can never actually type out the number. Every time I'm dialing one number and have to keep restarting.
How horrible.
Yeah, it was quite a stressful dream. But before we move on to like other physical things, why don't you talk about if you have any dreams or anything that you remember?
There is actually, we had a Caligas heater my mum did in the living room. And this heater was perfectly fine, by the way. There was nothing wrong with it. But one time it encroached into a dream / nightmare that I had. I don't really know why I remember it, but it obviously stuck with me enough that I do. And I don't remember what it was doing in the nightmare, but it was on wheels, right? So it's portable. You could wheel it to any room that needed heat. And I think it automatically came into my room and heated me up. And it was bloody scary, I'll tell you. I mean, I woke up thinking that this thing was in the room with me. And it wasn't. It was in the living room where it belonged. But it was also making a weird noise in the dream. Like, it was heating me up and trying to, you know, make me very, very on fire. And also making a weird, scary noise.
Yeah.
It never did that. Right? It was a very well-behaved heater. But
it knew its place.
It knew its place. It knew its job. It had one job.
Yeah. But and cooking you in your bedroom was not it.
No. It really freaked me out.
Yeah.
And then as a kid, I mean, this thing was heavy because it had a massive metal bottle in the back. I couldn't move it. So my mum had to move it, you know. So I wouldn't have been able to push it out of the room even if I wanted to. Because I must have been like 4 or 5 having this dream.
Mm.
Don't know why I remember that. Weird.
Because things that scare you stick with you, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah. And I do remember that we had long strings in the bathroom and the toilet for light switches, as you did, you know, in some places. And on the end were these, I don't know what they were, small rubber creatures. It was like, you know, a handle, essentially. But they were in the shape of little creatures. I don't know what they were. But in my dream, and I had this quite often reoccurred now I think about it, these rubber creatures, which were just light switch handles, were called the leave babers. And they would always come up to you. Yes, I know. I don't know. And then we'll just go, leave, baba, like that. And it was very freaky.
Wow.
So I never liked going anywhere near those damn light strings with those things on. And I could never really tell or explain to my mum why not. But if I had to turn the light on and off, I would actually pull higher up the string than touch those things. Never liked that.
Childhood minds are just crazy, aren't they? How they interpret things to create these nightmares.
Yes.
That is really strange.
That's children.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Ah, and actually, yeah, I keep thinking of things. When I talked to you this morning, I had no idea. But I remember that I used to sometimes listen to a radio, a battery-operated radio. And as you can imagine, batteries die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there I am, half asleep. The batteries die. And it fades away. But instead of just going off to sleep, it starts doing this really annoying clicking noise, and it's very rhythmical and not very nice. And I remember that I woke up while it was doing that once, and that was creepy because I didn't know what it was. My brain could not interpret what this thing was, you know?
Yeah.
So it was on the bed doing that. Horrible. Yeah. And I can only explain it like if a machine gun were a digital, an old sort of analog game noise, you know, like a ticka ticka ticka, like that.
Yeah.
And it would do that. Wow. And you couldn't turn the volume down. It just stayed that one loudness.
Yeah, that's not nice.
It's not nice.
It is those creepy sounds in the night that you can't identify.
Yes.
You know, like when you stay in a new house.
You've no idea what anything is.
Yeah, like at your friend's house or something, and there's noises and there's creaks and you don't know.
The brain is always on high alert, isn't it?
Exactly.
Same with hotel stays.
And always thinking the worst.
Yes.
Your brain, yes, true. In the middle of the night. During the day, you can be rational and stuff, but in the middle of the night, it's always going to be.
I find that whenever I stay in a hotel for any reason.
Yeah.
At least the first night.
Yeah.
Usually all right by the second or third, but if it's just like a one-night stay or a two-night stay, it can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah. What right, else? So we've done dreams.
Yeah.
Music or TV, because I know that you've got some.
We'll go back to you for a bit then.
All right. So there's two things that really stand out for me. One was the X-Files music.
I know you hate it.
I still hate it. I absolutely hate it. And I'm pretty sure that they included it in a song. At one point, later on.
What is it about that?
I don't know. It really affects me. I do not like the X-Files music. And then the other was Casualty, the TV show.
The music?
No, I don't mind the music. Just there was one particular episode, for those who are not in the UK or don't know what Casualty was, it's like a hospital-based drama,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And each week there were, you know, all kinds of different horrible stories, some not as bad as others, some pretty gross. This one particular one, this old lady comes in and she's sort of screaming in discomfort, I guess. And she said that she has this drum sound in her ear.
Oh, yeah.
And they eventually, like she's hysterical with it, they eventually pull a moth out of her ear that had been flapping its wings that was beating against her eardrum.
Gosh.
So that's what the noise was. And that exact night, I'm in my bed. I must have been 7, something like that. And I could hear like a beating in my ears. And I was utterly convinced that there were flies, moths, something in my ear that was causing this. And because I don't even know why I was that child that wouldn't get out of bed and go and get my mum for this because I thought I was being a nuisance. So I stayed there and my bedtime must have been about 7, 7:30, something like that. And my mum always used to come in and check on me before she went to bed. So I don't know, between 11 and 12 or something. And when she came in to check on me, I was still awake lying there. And told her what had happened, and she gave me some Calpol, it was fine. But the next day it turned out that I had ear infections.
Right.
And so what I was hearing in my head was actually the blood, you know, like rushing.
Around
so
the yeah.
Like your heartbeat, I guess, in your ears.
Yes.
But, and you know, I had ear infections, so I needed treatment and stuff. But that was what I was hearing, not moths. But obviously I'd convinced myself that I was going to get, or had moths in my ear. And I'm still a bit funny about things near my ear. Yeah. I don't like my ears particularly being touched by other people.
Or things.
Huh?
Or things.
Or things, yeah. I'm just...
I get that. I flinch if an insect flies near me.
Yeah, the buzzing and stuff. It's not nice.
But actually, Casualty, not the program, not the show itself, but the music, I always found quite daunting. I mean, it's supposed to be.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
The X-Files one sticks with me, but...
I also found the music for the show 999 very intimidating and intense. I liked the show.
Yeah.
But even now, actually, I mean, it's supposed to be quite an urgent thing, you know. But 999 is like an emergency services show.
Yeah.
For those outside the UK. And I used to watch it because I liked it, but it was quite scary music as a kid.
It's like an intimidating music,
yeah,
isn't it?
And nerve-wracking, sort of on edge, very yeah. edgy. Very good, but quite edgy. And other music, well, noises, I suppose, from TV shows. The we had a game show called Catchphrase, and I can't remember whether the noise was end of game show or something like that. I think it was end of game show. There was a sort of two-tone thing that used to happen. And I felt like it came out of nowhere every time. And I hated it. It would actually make me jump as a kid. Horrible noise.
No.
Equally, the bankrupt sound in Wheel of Fortune, the game show Wheel of Fortune. That noise terrified me as well. Never liked that. So those are the things that really got me as a kid.
Not nice.
So did you have any others besides Casualty and the X-Files that really kind of
threw
you?
No, not TV. There's a couple of stories. They're not, you know, well, I don't know. So my grandpa, who I think I've mentioned before, had a property in France where we used to go and stay.
Yeah.
And he liked to wind us up as kids. He did the same to my aunt as well.
Yeah.
Not so much my mum, I think, because there's quite a big age gap between them. So it was by the time my auntie was born. But one of the things he used to, and it was, you know, there was never any malice. It was more like, you know, sort of a teasing grandparent, not to be nasty or anything. But he used to tell me about the sea monsters.
Yeah.
So when you swam out in the sea across the road from their flat, it was quite clear, the water. So you would have the rocks to begin with, like the small sort of sandy, pebbly rocks, I guess.
Yeah.
Not even sand, actually, it was rocks, but then it would sort of go into sand. And then further out were really deep down, massive, big boulder rocks. And so when you looked down, it was just black, like really dark. You couldn't see anything. And occasionally people would go out that far, and I've seen them, not fish, I guess, but put things down and come up with like a squid or something. Mm-hmm. You never see them, but they obviously must have been there because somebody came up. Anyway, we used to swim quite far out to, they had like the buoys, which are those yellow flotation
device
things to sort of block off so that the boats don't come further. And basically you don't really want to swim past that, but they're quite far out.
Yes.
And we were quite strong swimmers, so we would swim out to there and then come back, and you could see the metal chain that was at the underneath the buoy to hold it in place, that went all the way down and sort of, you know, sunk down to keep it there.
Yes.
And he would tell us that down under the rocks were the sea monsters, and that they would come up and get your toes. So for years and years, when I used to swim out there and then come back, I would be swimming along nice and casual, nice and happy, and then swim really, really fast over the dark bit until it then became sand again, and then it was light, and then it was like, oh God, now I've got to swim back again. So I'd have to swim really, really far. And I would never look down. I'd be looking up at the sky.
Yeah.
Can't see anything. It's fine. But yeah, that was quite terrifying.
So if you can't see it, it can't see you.
Exactly. That's always the thing. If you can't see it, it can't see you. It's fine. And don't put your feet down. So like, you know, when you're swimming either on your front or your back, you're quite sort of level along the top.
Yep.
Never go the other way. Never put your feet down. Okay. Just in case. That was the thing.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then in the building that he was in, it was quite an old building, beautiful, but quite old. And on each floor was like a little cupboard, I guess. And in there was what they called the poubelle, which is the bin. So it was like a chute that went down into the main bins.
Yeah, like we had in our place.
Yeah, like that. So you would lift up the metal flap on the door and pop it in. And so he used to tell me that I had to be careful because there was the poubelle monster. And so if I lifted it up, the poubelle monster would come out and grab me and take me in. So every time when I was, and I was little, like 6, 7, 8, I mean, right up until probably the last time I went when I was, I don't know, 12, 13, with him. And he would always, you know, give me like a little bag of rubbish, off you go, but be careful of the poubelle monster.
Great.
So yeah, that always. So when we had that, when we moved to Gloucester House, that still was in the back of my head of be careful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Twisted, I had a bigger chute.
It did. This was quite a small one. You could only put like little bin bags. You know, it wasn't, I think anyway. I don't think you could put like huge big black bags or anything.
No.
I think it was relatively small.
Yeah, Twisted House was better.
And yeah, think, this was a really old building.
So. Gloucester House being a massive building with 16 floors at the time.
Yeah.
Should have had way bigger chutes.
True.
But then you'd have had bigger monsters.
Yeah, exactly. So can you imagine? Oh.
Come to get you, it would.
Oh, God. Yeah. He used to do all sorts of crazy things to us to wind us up and tease us.
It's a parent's thing, although I don't think we ever did that to ours.
No. Definitely not, because I know, like, you know, it's the being a sensitive child. You know, I know the effects of it, and it was never, you know, he would never, there was never any malice there or anything, but, and you know Alice, she's super sensitive.
Just to keep you on your
if
toes.
If we told her anything, it would stick with her for sure. So yeah.
Oh yes, I actually have a memory of motorbikes.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So my mum and I would go and visit, you know, family friends after school. Because this is before I went to Worcester, so I was still in day school. And we'd get late buses home. Or at least I would assume they were late. I'm probably thinking 8, half 8. That was not really that late as such.
Well, it is when you're little.
When you're a kid, it's late.
That's and bedtime.
So back streets are quite quiet. But always I'd hear, you know, motorbikes in the distance.
Yeah.
And they make this quite sort of droney noise, and I never liked it. And I would always tell my mum that the Werps were coming to get me. I did not like the sound of the Werps.
Oh.
Motorbike engines. And we'd have to walk quicker so that we were back in main traffic areas.
Yeah.
Because where they lived was, you know, quite quiet. So you take a lot of quiet streets.
Mm.
And so the only things you heard were obviously louder things.
Yeah.
There was nobody behind you, no one with you in front of you. And it was just all quiet. Cars parked up on the side, and so the louder engines would be very loud. But when you get to the main road, everything's fine again. You get on the bus and it's okay.
It's the motorbike revving, isn't it? That's.
Or even when it's just at speed, it hit a particular kind of sound, and I never liked it. Yep.
Oh.
Weird memories.
Scary memories.
Yeah, definitely. And I bet our listeners have a fair few of those, because the thing is, you know, I know not everything that we talk about is necessarily relatable, but children,
they hold on to these things. Yeah, everybody has something that they were scared of when they were a child.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I had this like toy clown thing that I think a patient of my mum's, because she was a nurse, gave to her to give to me. And I hated that thing, but that would be ungrateful to say, so I never said. But it had a really creepy plastic face and then arms and feet and then like long arms and legs. It was just, it was horrible. And it sat on the shelf with all the other cuddly toys that I had, because I had quite a few.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not like that thing.
Mm.
But yeah, that would be ungrateful to say, so I never did. But I was pretty scared of that clown. I don't like clowns anyway, but that was...
I think a lot of people don't, to be fair. No. It's not just a you thing.
No, lots of people don't like clowns.
No.
Quite normal.
Yeah, I mean, I know from talking to other people that they just find the faces really quite creepy.
Yeah.
For example.
Mm. And I think because they have been used in scary stories or horror films or whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to, well, hopefully not have seen those as a child. But yeah, they are just creepy.
Creepy clowns.
Creepy, creepy. Like, you know, Pennywise.
Oh, yes. Pennywise.
Yeah. The My dad calls our Penny that sometimes.
The Victorians seem to like their clowns and things.
The Victorians?
I think so.
Yeah. Maybe.
Circusy things.
Yeah. Yeah. But they didn't have much else to do. So, you know, entertainment.
True enough. Yep. The pre-internet age.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now you can go online and get jump scared on, you know, on the internet.
No, no. That's okay.
Ah, yeah. I don't like if... This is going showing my age, but back in the day, when people would play vinyl discs or records, if you will.
Oh, I know the noise that you're thinking
of. You get
of.
In the lock.
Mm-hmm.
And if the needle gets stuck in a groove, then yeah. The music just sounded super eerie and horrible.
Yeah.
Never liked that.
I know what you mean.
I still don't. And I can make it happen very easily as a musician. I can do that. But I do not like that sound at all.
Yeah. No, that's not nice either.
I think the brain just kind of isn't geared toward that kind of thing somehow, because it's not a sound that happens in nature necessarily.
Yeah, could be. Repetition. I think just different people have different tones or sounds and things that they don't like.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also don't really like the sound of anything that's on tape if the tape is slightly warped or broken.
Mm.
Because as a kid, I knew that the tape was either going to break on me and I'd have to take it out very quickly and fix it. These days it's okay because it's usually digital emulation of the thing, which is all right. It's never quite as close as the real thing, so it doesn't bother me as much. But yeah, actual tape. Oh dear, you better fix that quick.
Well, unless you have any other things that you can think of.
I cannot. I'm all scared out.
Yeah, good. Terrified ourselves now.
Yeah, don't listen to this in the nighttime.
all right, well, very quickly, I will tell you a silly news story that I found.
Oh, you've got to give it the proper name.
Strange news.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry. You've
got to have something lighthearted to end.
I forgot.
End the terrible experiences.
This is just about different odd things that have been left in by Uber riders. That's really hard to say.
Now that's interesting.
So these include 175 hamburger sliders.
What is a slider?
Like the meat on a bun? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Let's just say hamburgers. 108 boiled eggs. 10 live lobsters.
Is this a Christmas song?
Yeah, 5 jars of pickles and a partridge in a pear tree. We've also had a Viking drinking horn.
Amazing.
Yeah. A mini fridge.
I'd take that home.
The mini fridge.
Jake would like that.
I just think, how do you forget that the mini fridge is there? I know they're mini, but...
Maybe it's in the boot.
Garlic clothes.
Vampire.
5-gallon bucket of beans.
That's...
A bucket of feta cheese.
Wow.
Obviously, you know, you've got the usual, like, bottles of drink and...
Everybody's phone.
Beer.
99 bottles of beer, my dear.
On the wall?
Probably.
An Xbox?
Come on.
I know. A gallon of vodka?
Yes, yes, I can see that.
And boxes of wine. I'm sure there's many, many more, but in the article that was, yeah, some of the craziest ones.
I think I read once upon a time that when RNIB was lending out Braille books in the 80s and 90s, maybe they still do, I don't know. Oh, no, it wasn't RNIB, it was NLB. NLB is National Language for the Blind. I think they're shut down now. But I think they put out at some point like a newsletter of, you know, stuff that had happened over the years. Yeah. And I think that they said one of the strangest things they got back in a book as a bookmark was a raw slice of bacon.
No, like a bookmark?
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, you've got to feel that. It was a Braille book, right? So it probably ruined that book, all greasy.
That's a bit gross, isn't it?
Nasty stuff.
Yeah. That is really grim.
And when you were saying about whatever it was, the first thing you said, I can't remember what it was now, but it reminded me of that story.
The hamburger?
Yeah. That's what reminded me of it. I was like, oh, yes, bacon slice as a bookmark. I mean, if you're going to make it out of plastic, that's cool, but don't use meat as a bookmark. That's a bad idea.
No, soak into the page. No.
You don't want to do that. So look, we did it again. Another sort of short one for you.
Yeah.
Shocking. Shocking indeed. Sometimes we can be good at it. So tell us your childhood terrors in the comments. And tell Alice if you like her artwork as well. I'm sure she'd love to know. Yeah,
she would love that.
Yes, she would. And you, if you're a YouTube member, are hearing this early because we are pre-recording this on a Thursday. So it will come out Friday at 10 o'clock. I mean, it's already out. You've heard it now, haven't you? But if you want to hear more sometimes early, become a YouTube member. Support us. What we don't want is sponsors and ads and stuff. We're not scripted. We don't really believe in that kind of thing. So everything we say is off the cuff, apart from the news story. But everything else we say is just, you know, as we conceive of it, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Makes it way more organic.
It does indeed.
So if you like what we do, please do like and subscribe. I hate saying that, but it has to be said, the algorithm. And share it with your friends, because the only way that we can get more listeners is by you giving us your time and passing it on. It helps us a lot, and we appreciate you very much.
We do.
If you're new, welcome. If you're old, welcome back. And until next time.